Welcome to the Fuller Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Monday, the 21st of July, and I'm recording at 10 p.m., and that's British summertime. Now, you won't be surprised to hear me say that markets are dominated by the Russian situation, and this is mainly about Vladimir Putin and his ex-KGB allies here and their brazen denial that everybody was responsible for the shooting down of MH17 except for the people who actually supplied the rocket system and pushed it over into the terrorists where terrorists have seized territory in Ukraine. And that's a shameful well, you know, I couldn't be more critical, but I'm sure you feel, certainly the majority of you feel similarly about this. But let's start here with the markets generally, because it's going to have the least impact on the Asian region, where it will have some impact, and we may have seen here with Japan here recently, is that if it pushes the price of oil up, and it easily can do that here, then that would be a problem for certainly for some of these economies. At any rate, Japan's Nikkei 225 was down 1% here today. China's indices just a fraction lower, less than a quarter of a percent. And elsewhere in the China-related sector, well, Taiwan, it's been a very strong market for quite a while now, and pushing up higher still in here today, nearly half a percent on the half a percent gain. India up for the fifth straight day, and that has well, modest gains. Move back up. It's moving back up to the higher side of the range. So basically, what we had the last week, early last week, and the week before was a small downward break from the trading range. Got back to, in the terms of the Sensex index, with which you're probably most familiar, got down to the 25,000 level. It closed today at 25,715. And there is resistance up near the 26,000 level. Now, what veteran subscribers will have heard me say on many occasions, and also Owen, of course, is that when you get a failed breakout from a recognizable trading range, and a recognizable trading range is usually sideways, you get a failed breakout from that pattern, that particularly if it occurs on a dynamic, as this one did, that it's going to at least test the opposite side of the range. Well, we are now testing the opposite side of the range, and we're getting slightly overbought after five consecutive days to the upside. So I wouldn't be surprised if India ranges for a little while longer before it eventually goes much higher, in my opinion, and that's mostly due to the policies that are being put in place by Prime Minister Narendra Modi, of course. Okay, elsewhere in Asia, again, mostly firm, Thailand and, well, Indonesia, they like Widodo, his election victory, and that's one of the top gainers. I see New Zealand is also up here today as well. And looking at the European markets, we have a different story. Now we're moving into the markets that are most affected by the European situation. Obviously, within Europe, pacifist Europe here overall. Now that's fine until you run into someone who is as brutal and cynical as Putin actually is, and who's obviously exploiting the situation here right now. I mean, the Europeans are reluctantly and wringing their hands over a few more minor sanctions following the atrocities. The US is leading that drive, but it's probably not enough to really put a big squeeze on Russia anytime soon. It could in 6 months' time if they hold with the sanctions overall, but I think really the hope for Russia is that the oligarchs who don't dare put their heads up in terms of protests as far as anything that Putin is actually doing, that's the problem. But the oligarchs are going to be, or at least those that are involved in business, genuine, legitimate business activities, albeit getting preferential treatment from the regime, are going to be unhappy about the state of affairs regarding sanctions. But will that bring enough pressure to actually get a change in policy? Well, I wouldn't hold my breath. That's the problem in here. But Europe certainly is underperforming. If they continue to underperform, that will eventually create very attractive valuations once again. But I'd be cautious about Europe in the short term. The USA, well, a little bit weaker in here today, but modest. We're talking about a quarter of a percent to the downside on average. The weakest index in the US is the Russell 2000. Now, that's the smaller capitalization index, and basically it's in the big right in the middle of a sideways trading range that we've seen since late last year. And needless to say, a pattern of that size is looking like a potential developing top formation here. But it's the big ones, such as the S&P, that would have to clearly weaken, and that is not happening yet. So big cap USA is continuing to perform in here, and the earnings reports that have been coming out as we enter the or as the latest season, they remain generally favorable. But as shrewd observers have pointed out, it's not too hard to improve your earnings when you can buy back your shares by after borrowing money. If you wish to do so at 2 to 3%, and retire those shares, effectively running up your earnings per share. But I don't want to be well, that's been going on for quite some time, and it does flatter the earnings. I don't want to be too pessimistic about the implications, because there's no doubt that the autonomies within the U.S. economy, and those are the ones that this service very much favors overall, subject to how they're performing relative to their 200-day moving averages. In other words, when they get too overextended on the upside, we look for pullbacks. When they get orderly pullbacks to those MAs over the last few years, over the last 6 years, actually, when they get pullbacks to those rising 200-day MAs, those have been entry opportunities, buying opportunities, in other words. And then when they get quite overextended on the upside, it's time to possibly, well, certainly not to buy more and possibly take some profits, because you can expect mean reversion back towards the MA. Okay, what else happened here in Asia, I beg your pardon, in the North American markets? Well, Canada just a fraction lower, just over a tenth of a percent. Mexico a fraction lower. Brazil up nearly 1.1%. Not a bad performance here. Again, resources, this resources market remains very, very steady, as does Canada, as does Australia. Although Canada did not move higher here today, Australia was up a small fraction. And resources, many resources shares were also somewhat steadier in here today. Now, long-dated government bond yields, well, I think soft, I just can't remember. I don't want to guess on the level. So hold on a second. USGG 10. Why are thinking out loud? The US 10-year government bond, that's 2.4674 as I speak. Surprisingly low overall, though we know the Fed is still buying these. And we know that people are still concerned about GDP growth and disinflationary pressures, although I think that we're certainly not going to see any serious deflation in the US. If we get any serious deflation, it's much more likely to occur in Europe, I would suggest. Now, elsewhere, we have interesting development. Not surprisingly, oil prices have moved somewhat higher, although I'm surprised that the US is getting the best gains in here, or at least it is today, up $1.5 to 104.67 for the US WTI. So that's not all that far below the Brent crude, which is a little more global. And that's at about 107 and a half when I last looked at Brent. U.S. grains and beans. Well, the crops are good and the prices are a little bit softer, so that's helping to keep food inflation under control. Precious metals are a little bit of a mixed bag here. The palladium reversed some early gains. It's currently at 877. Down just over $4. Silver is a little higher at $20.97, but it had been up at 21.16 earlier in the day, as people realized that they couldn't be too complacent about the shooting down of MH17 being a non-factor here in terms of the markets. Platinum a fraction higher at 1492 and change. And gold bullion, as I speak, and that is at $1,312.20. So that's up $1.10. And currencies, well, currencies are just generally quiet overall. The US dollar index very much range bound, a little above this 80 level, 80.55 to be precise, but that's up a fraction on the day. Sterling a fraction easier, 1.7076. The euro is still a little too strong for, I think, the ECB's interests and also in terms of economic circumstances, but it's at 1.3524 against the US dollar. That's just about unchanged. The euro really ought to weaken a little bit here on economic considerations, but it is the second most important reserve currency. And therefore, it does attract a lot of funds that want to be in a reserve currency other than the US dollar. And on that note, I think that's touched most of the highlights here. So all the very best to all of you.